Episode number 38, I Blew It with Brian Dollar. Here we go, tribe.
This is the Kidman Tribe Podcast. We're helping you as children's pastors, volunteers, and leaders plan, create, and execute incredible life-changing kids' worship experiences at your church. With practical tips, coaching, training, and resources from the best in kids' ministry around the world. It's time to join the tribe.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Kidman Tribe Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Noble, and I'm so glad that you're here. Hey, so what happens in ministry when you blow it? What happens when you're sitting there and you make a mistake? We're all human. We're not going to be perfect 100% of the time. Listen, how we take those moments and grow from them is so important. It's not a time to quit. I don't even care if it's your biggest failure ever. That is not the time to quit. It's the time to learn from that failure, to humble yourself and go, okay, what do I need to learn and how do I move forward? Listen, your past does not have to define your future. Your future is bright, and we learn. These failures become our stepping stones. And listen, if all you had was success all the time, man, I don't think we'd learn any lessons. And it's those moments when we fail that we have to get back up and say, okay, God, what happened here? What do I need to learn? What do I need to change about me? And how do I take those building blocks to become a better leader? Today on the podcast, I'm welcoming my good friend, Brian Dollar. Brian is a best-selling author and a speaker, and he is a pastor. He currently serves as the associate pastor at First North Little Rock in North Little Rock, Arkansas, where he leads over 500 volunteers in a dozen ministries. Brian has also authored Talk Now and Later, How to Lead Kids Through Life's Tough Topics, which reached number one in the Christian family category. His most recent release, I Blew It, is a powerful book that provides practical steps for ministry leaders to move beyond their failures and rediscover God's grace. In 1998, Brian founded High Voltage Kids Ministry Resources, which creates cutting-edge multimedia elementary and preschool church curriculum. These resources have been used in more than 15,000 churches around the world. Brian and his wife, Cherith, have two amazing children, Ashton and Jordan. They currently reside in Sherwood, Arkansas. I promise you, you're not going to want to miss a single moment of this great discussion with Brian. Hey, we'll be right back. Thanks.
Hey, ministry leader, have you ever done anything that people were confused by? I have, and that's what happened in relation to our name here at 1230 Media. We've heard the confusion every time that we've heard questions like, do you spell it out? Is it numbers? Is it letters? There's a colon in there, right? Is this a Bible verse? Is it a time of day? So, spoiler alert, we are changing our name. And here's why. It all started with the best intentions. My wife Katie and I originally wanted a name that described how our company and you do ministry. That it's not about the flash of graphics and video, it's about discipleship. So in Mark 12:30, Jesus summed up authentic ministry by saying it's when you love God and love people. Loving God and loving people is the definition of the Christian faith. It's how we walk out our faith. We couldn't have said it better, so we edited Mark 12:30 down to 1230 Media. We wanted to keep the main thing, that it was about discipleship and spiritual growth and salvation, more than just the flash of graphics and video. But as we grew, the name has been a challenge for those we serve. It's been a challenge for people like you. Well, we've heard you and we are changing our name, even though we always want to help see changed lives and it not just be about being flashy. Our brand new name will ultimately help everyone remember it and create a tighter focus on what we really do well. I know you're ready to know, but our team is not quite ready to reveal our name and our new branding yet. There's a ton of work to prepare for it to be a very clear, organized launch of our new brand. We are so excited to share it with you. That will be coming in the next few weeks. But thank you so much for letting me share this with you. School is back in session, and we would love to give you a fun mini movie from our kids' library. Absolutely free. It's at 1230kids.com/school. Just use the promo code SCHOOL at checkout to make the video completely free. Again, 1230kids.com/school, and just use the word SCHOOL in the promo code box to make the video completely free. In a matter of weeks, I'll be sending out a video announcing our brand new name and logo. It is incredible. You're going to love it. And you'll be excited to hear how all these changes will help you visually communicate the gospel to your community. I'll see you then.
Well, hey, everyone. Welcome to the Kidman Tribe Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Noble. I have one of my good friends, Brian Dollar, here today. He is the executive pastor at First Assembly North Little Rock, or North Little Rock First Assembly, right? And so, Brian, welcome. I'm so glad you're here. We go back a long time, and you come out with a brand new book, and I think it has such a great, it's a great topic for all of us in ministry. It's called I Blew It. Like, when you make mistakes, when you blow it big time in ministry, and we're going to talk about that today. I think it's a book that everybody needs to get a hold of. So talk to us about that. I remember when we first started All Serving as Kids Ministry, some of the stories you told me had me on the ground dying, laughing, just things, and kind of the heart behind the book, and give us some idea on how to bounce back when you've blown it.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you, first of all, Jason, for the invitation and allowing me to speak to your audience. I have been in ministry for a little over 30 years now, started in kids ministry, spent decades there, and still deeply involved. I lead actually all 11 of our campuses, the kids ministry leaders and pastors, and still oversee all of our curriculum development through High Voltage Kids Ministry, which I know a lot of people probably listening have used.
Which I want to put an exclamation part of. That is like the best curriculum out there, guys. So if you're looking for good curriculum, this will come out right before everybody starts their new fall year. And that is some of the best that's out there. So you guys do. What I love about it is you use it at your church. So it's not somebody sitting up in the room. Like going, oh, we hope it works. Or, I mean, it's kid tested, mother approved. And you guys love that, right? I mean, and man, check that. Where do people find the curriculum?
HighVoltageKids.com. Real easy. Okay. HighVoltageKids.com. And we've actually starting, I don't know when this will be released, but September 1st through the 15th, we've got the window opening to our digital membership. Twice a year, we do that. And when they join our digital membership, they get the latest, greatest curriculum automatically delivered to their download portal, and it's 50% off, and they get like thousands of dollars of bonuses when they join the membership. So it's a really good deal. They September 1st through the 15th, okay, and they can just go to highvoltagekids.com, and there's a button to click about digital membership, and they'll learn all about it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Man, if you're looking for a curriculum, I highly, highly recommend it.
Well, thanks. I wasn't planning on plugging that, but I do appreciate it. Yeah. You know, we basically, the reason why I kind of wrote the book initially was to kind of chronicle, I was actually at my 20-year mark, but I took the approach of I Blew It, which the title is I Blew It, The Biggest Mistakes I've Made in Ministry and How You Can Avoid Them. And the reason why I took that route, as opposed to talking, everybody wants to talk about their successes. Everybody wants to talk about what they did right. But I think too often we look at people who have been in ministry a long time. Maybe they've enjoyed what some of us would consider ministry success, whatever that is. But we look at those people as unique and special. And we think, well, you know, that person doesn't really understand what I've gone through and the challenges that I face. And certainly they haven't messed up the way that I have. And I wrote this book to show that failure is inevitable. You know, making mistakes in ministry is going to happen. I've made huge, huge blunders, but it was in those moments of failure, those moments of mistakes, where I really learned some of my biggest lessons. Success teaches you nothing. Right. Failure teaches you a lot. And so what I did in the book was just share a lot of the biggest pitfalls that I fell into. And I really try to practically help people not only bounce back after some of those failures, but to avoid falling in those same pitfalls. I want to keep them from failing as often as possible, because we can learn from our own mistakes, and that's good. But the better way to go about it is to learn from others' mistakes, right, and keep yourself from falling in those easy pitfalls that kind of plague us all. So that's totally. That's why I wrote that book. And the reason why I'm re-releasing it now and expanding it. And I forget, is this a video or just audio only?
This is video. Yep. So show us the cover.
Okay. Here's the cover. And people can pick it up at briandollar.com or at September 19th, 2023 is when it releases. They can get a pre-release at briandollar.com and it'll be autographed and all that good stuff. But it'll be everywhere come September 19th. But the reason why I wanted to re-release it is I added two chapters to it that really help people process through seasons of failure and restoration. Because the pivotal role that failure plays in our spiritual journey, I think sometimes we miss because, you know, you serve in ministry. Well, that it means not that you're pursuing excellence in ministry. God never called you to pursue perfection in ministry.
Right.
You know, ministry is about being persistent, having courage, and growing, right? I mean, yep. It's about admitting that we're human.
Right? Like constantly getting better. So like, if you're 1% a day getting better in your ministry, by the end of the year, multiply that, right?
Yes, because you want to pursue growth. You're pursuing big goals. Well, if you're doing that, you're going to find yourself moving into areas that you've never been before. You're going to have more responsibility than you've ever had before. So in that, you're not going to bat 1,000.
Right.
You're going to strike out every once in a while. You're going to fall. You're going to fall short. And I would rather fail trying something new than to fail to try everything, to fail to ever try anything new.
Exactly.
You know, that's where you want to make mistakes. So failure is inevitable. You work with people. I mean, you and I both know in the ministry with people, you're going to have moments where you either don't respond correctly. Maybe you make the wrong assumption about somebody else's motive. Maybe you drop the ball with a ministry assignment. We're going to make mistakes consistently. We have to, though, learn how to manage those mistakes and work to minimize the negative impact of those mistakes. So the question is not, will you make mistakes? It's what will you do when you make mistakes? How will you respond to those mistakes? Because you and I both know as leaders and as young leaders, especially, we have a tendency to react a certain way when we fall short or when we make mistakes. We don't always respond right. Most of the time we're trying to cover it up.
Yeah, we don't own up to it.
We try to fake everybody out and think that they didn't see what they just saw. You know, they didn't experience what they just experienced. And you tell half truths. You know what those are, right? Half truths are whole lies.
Yes, exactly.
Because when you're not being honest and transparent, you are being deceptive and dishonest. Yep. And so, you know, there are everyday ministry mistakes that you can make. You fail to email, you promise you're going to email your pastor about something, but then you forget, you know, you space out. 2 days later, he asked you about it and you have to, you know, face palm.
Own up.
You know, you blew it.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Well, you should own up, but sometimes our thing is, must have been lost in cyberspace. You know, you make up a lie and excuse. Here's the thing. When you do that, you're losing credibility with those that you lead and with the people who you're following.
Yes.
So often we think that if we admit we've made an error or we admit we've made a mistake, somehow that's going to cause us to be lowered in the esteem of the people that we're working with. It's the opposite.
It is.
When you own it, you rise in their esteem because they know, hey, that's somebody I can trust. That's somebody who's not trying to bluff their way through stuff. That's someone who's trying to learn and grow. And I can work with somebody like that because I trust them.
You know, and I know a lot of leaders across the U.S., and I can say probably within a handful of people that have been in a position for 30 years, been in the same spot. It brings longevity. Talk to me about that, because then I'm going to segue into another part. What does longevity bring? When you've been at a place for 30 years, as you're looking back, what would you say, man, what's the benefit of that?
Well, and I've been here for almost 24 years. I was at a church in Dallas prior to here.
Okay.
But still, I've served years. under the Yeah, my pastor, Rod Loy, was the executive pastor when I came on staff here. So I've served under him either as executive pastor or as lead pastor for 23 plus years. And yeah, I have a lot of a lot of our pastoral staff has been here, not quite as long as me, but a long time. Some of them grew up in this church, so they've known me since they were 6 and 7 years old.
Wow.
Some of the young guys. And what's cool about longevity is that it gives you, I mean, you have a totally different perspective.
Yep.
You've seen people through lots of seasons of life, but they've also seen you grow through a lot of seasons of life. So you can't fake your way through stuff because people know who you were and right. They know what you've done.
Right.
And so what's cool is that they're able to not only know all that, but they see the difference that God's made in your life over that period of time. And it they've watched the growth take place. So they've got a unique appreciation for the journey that God has had you on.
Okay.
But with longevity also, the cool part is what I just described. So our co-pastor, who's going to be our eventual lead pastor here in however many years, he was 6 years old when I got here.
Wow.
He was a kid in my kids' ministry when I first began here. And so I have been able to pour into his life over all these years. And there's going to come a time, well, even now as the co-pastor, I'm the associate pastor, but he's the co-pastor and he's my boss now. And so Wow. He's pouring into my life. And Right. We have a mutual respect for each other that could never have happened without going through so many different phases and experiences and seasons of life. It's beautiful. I mean, it's tough because, you know, you realize they do know the idiot things you've done in the past. So they can't forget those things. But Right. At the same time, they see the difference in your life now. And they know that that God is faithful through it all. And he brings you through those seasons to new heights and new places, and new opportunities. It's pretty awesome.
And I would venture to say, that's what I wanted to ask you about longevity, but I would venture to say most people, when they blow it, they leave a place. They don't sit around, they blame it on everyone else. They, you know, so they never get to enjoy the fruit of longevity where, you know, if you talk to a person who's been in 10 different churches in 20 years, it may not be all their fault, but I also would venture to say that they have missed out on the blessing of longevity because they've never stayed long enough to work through it when they blow it. And when they
you're
make
exactly right.
And so I think that's one of the things, especially if you're a younger children's pastor listening in today, stick around. Let people pour into your life when you blow it. Like, accept the responsibility, because longevity in a place, you keep running from it, it always will catch up to you. And so learning to how to break through that, you know, and if somebody tells me that, hey, I've been in kids ministry 10 years, I ask them how many churches they've been to, and they say, if there's three, I go, really, you've only been in 2 years, because there's so many different, like, you know, different valleys and like things that you go through on the third year that you never go through on the sixth year. So it's like longevity brings brings some incredible things. And
well, let me jump in, because I'll tell you, I understand that. And I also understand, you're right, a lot of people, especially if they blow it big time, not just small mistakes, but something big, they're so convinced that they'll never be looked at as anything different that they hit the eject button and they leave.
Yep.
Most of the time they leave even before they've learned what they needed to learn through that mistake. And so they're prone to repeat it, and they end up costing themselves. One of the two chapters that I wrote and added to the revised and updated version focused solely on the time period after. So back in 2008, 2009, I had a whole year that I stepped back from upfront ministry because I was in a place in my heart and in my ministry life that I had no business leading anybody. I was just not where I needed to be. I had tried to do ministry for a long time on my own, self-reliant instead of God-reliant, and it showed, and my heart was far from where God wanted me to be. But I remember how I felt in that year. I felt like an idiot. I felt like a failure. I felt like an absolute worthless human being. Even several years after, even though I had been restored, been given opportunities back, and I still was still growing, I could not let my mind let go of the emotion that I felt in the commiseration that I went through during that time of failure. And
yeah.
If I had let those feelings, because they're hard, man, they're not easy. Yeah. They're very hard. And if I had let those feelings drive my decisions, and if I'd have left like I wanted to several times, like, I mean, I had the thought, man, I could just go somewhere and nobody'd know anything about what happened. And I just go and
start over and be new.
I've had that thought many times. And thank God he stopped me from doing that.
Because
he allowed me to experience all those feelings. Cause I think you have to have that initial sting of the failure. You feel horrible. You let people down. You let yourself down. You let God down. Failure hurts. No matter how long you've been in ministry, failure hurts. Am I right?
Yeah. And I think the longer you've been in, it's harder to fail because you're like, man, I should know better. I mean, because by 2008, you'd been in ministry for, was it 20 years at that point? I mean,
yeah, a little over 15 years. Yeah.
15. So like you're sitting there going, well, I should have known better. I should have, you know, I mean, and who's sitting right on the shoulder whispering in your ears? The enemy, the accuser.
Absolutely. Sitting
right there. Like, man, you just need to leave. You just need to get out of here. And like,
yeah,
you would have never probably learned to do ministry with God versus being self-reliant if you hadn't stuck through right. that. And you'd be probably off on the sidelines of life.
Yes, because what we allow the enemy to do sometimes is, number one, allow that guilt and shame. Jesus yes. said that he's come to bring us life, you know, and life after failure is possible. Paul said there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Yeah. We should have conviction and we should feel that commiseration and that pain of the failure, but that is not what we have to live with the rest of our life. We are living in freedom and restoration. But what happens is people get stuck in that first phase, that commiseration phase, and they fail to go to phase two, which is examination. Totally. And in examination after a failure, that's where you ask yourself the tough questions. You examine your action, your motives, your missteps. And examination is critical.
It is.
Because whenever I mess up, there's four questions that I ask myself every time when I've blown it. I ask, why did it happen? Because I want to know, was it a lack of planning? Was it unrealistic expectations?
That's
maybe
so good.
You know, on my part, most of the time it's poor communication or wrong motives or whatever. But I ask, why did it happen? Then I ask, was it avoidable? Because a lot of our mistakes just couldn't be avoided. Like you didn't know, you couldn't have seen something coming. It happened. You fell on your face. You know, you couldn't avoid it. But a lot of them can be avoided with better planning, better communication, better execution. So if it can be avoided, that's my third question. If it could be avoided, what specifically could I have done to prevent it? Maybe, you know, you blew through some roadblocks that were set up. Maybe you ignored good advice, whatever. If it could have been avoided, what could I have done to prevent it? And then finally, the fourth question is I ask, what do I need to know, be, or do in order to avoid repeating the same mistake? Because it's okay to make mistakes, but don't make the same one over and over again. Then it's not a mistake. It's a pattern of failure. And that's usually because you failed to learn from it.
That's good, man. That's so good. And, you know, I think the fact that you've realized that, hey, you had to step back, because, I mean, not all frontline soldiers are always on the front line, right? They have to go back, they have to step back, they have to take a break, they have to. And I'm so thankful that your pastor allowed you to do that. I mean, Pastor Rob's a great guy. And the fact that he let you step back to go, okay, we're going to deal, I mean, powerful, because it shows you he cares more about
the
than the ministry.
Yes. And I would love to seem like some kind of hero that I had that idea for myself and that I need to step back. No, he told me directly after I did go to him and kind of shared everything that was going on. But once he realized where my heart was, he knew quickly, this is not a quick little, okay, let's pick ourselves up and move on. There was some deep stuff that God needed to do. So he said, listen, you're stepping back. You're gonna focus not on pouring out. You're gonna focus on letting God cut you deep in your heart and do the spiritual surgery that's needed to change you so that you never ever walk this road again. Yeah. That was not easy, but because there's a lot of pastors who would have not done that. Instead, they would have said, "You've blown it, and I trusted you, and how dare you get out of here?"
Yep.
And you and I both know that there's a lot of those pastors out there.
Yep, that's true.
But he did not respond that way. And he continues to, you know, remind me of just how far I've come. You know, sometimes I lose perspective of just how far I've come since those days. And he'll remind me all the time, man, look what God's done.
Isn't that great?
Isn't it awesome? Yeah, he's a very encouraging, caring leader. Yeah. And I pray that when you fail, you have an encouraging and caring leader who will lead you down a path of restoration and wholeness. Because that's what God wants from it, yes. From the failure. He doesn't want you to have to live the rest of your life feeling like an absolute worthless pile of garbage. You know, he wants you to turn the page and let him begin to write in that blank page the new story of your life.
Well, and you know, it's interesting that you bring that up, because I think that if you wouldn't have gone through that, it would have literally capped your potential. Like that would have been that. And thank you. You had a leader that would say, you know, we're going to walk through this with you. And it's a great example too of how to deal with our volunteers and the people that are underneath us in leadership.
Yep.
You know, we'll burn people out. We don't pay attention to it, you know, because we've got ministry that has to be done, especially in kids ministry. But I want to tell you, yep. If you focus on the people, God will supply. And like having that kind of, some of your leaders may need to take a little break right now. Some of your key leaders. And I promise you, if you'll give them a break now and walk through restoration with them, they'll be better leaders on the other side, just like what you're saying, Brian. I mean, and I think you 100%. Would have never been able to fly like you are now without that moment where thankfully Pastor Rob pulled you aside and said, hey, we believe in you, but you're stepping back, you know, and
absolutely. And I'll tell you the reason why he did it. He recognized, and what you were just talking about it, directly to the listener. We are called to be shepherds of our people, and those people that are serving underneath us, we are shepherds. Sometimes a shepherd needs to know when that sheep needs to go by the quiet, still waters and rest and get more from the Lord and not be just giving. Mm-hmm. We have to be the ones who look and be so in tune and intuitive enough, in tune with their path and their journey that they're on, that we know when we need to suggest that to them. Because sometimes volunteers don't see that. Staff members don't see that themselves.
Right.
They need a leader to tell them, this is not a time for you to keep blowing and going. This is a time for you to sit on the sideline and let God pour into you and even pull out of you because there's some stuff in there that don't belong.
Exactly.
And he needs to cut it out. And
exactly.
Boy, he's the potter, we're the clay. And sometimes he just got to trim a lot of stuff off to mold us and shape us into who we need to be.
Well, we all bring things into ministry, and usually ministry, man, if you're insecure, it highlights it. If you're self-reliant, it highlights it. If you're, we don't get fixed in ministry, it actually makes it more challenging. And so having leaders and being okay. And some, you know, there were some people I think even listening to right now that said, man, I'm a pastor and I need that kind of care. And so, you know, I think in those moments, like, we've got to make sure that we're allowing God, you know, stepping back and allowing God to mold us and that. So tell me one experience where you go, man, I blew it big time. Love to hear just one.
Well, there's certainly way more than one. But, you know, I guess if I was going to kind of tell one that's because the book is filled with lots of stories and lots of mistakes. Right. Some of them are really deep and heavy, like what I just shared.
Yeah.
But there's also some really funny, stupid, idiotic stuff that I did that really people are going to sit back and go, are you serious? That really happened? So one of those was I was doing a VBS in my early days on the life of Moses. And I decided, you know, I didn't spend any time asking God if this was a good idea or even asking anybody else. I just kind of had this idea and ran with it, which is, you know, part of what I tell and teach in the chapter of what I learned from it. But what I did was I came up with this idea. I had gone to Hell House. You remember Hell House?
Oh, yeah. Scare the hell out of you.
You know, that was their tagline. Yeah. And they take you from room to room and show you all these, you know, different scenes. And then you ended up in hell and went to heaven, you know, all that stuff. It was like a tour. I thought what would be great during this VBS about the life of Moses would be to do a plagues tour. And so I set up all these different rooms to reflect the different plagues that the Egyptians had to go through. And my thought was, man, this is going to bring the Bible to life for the kids in my ministry. And, you know, they'll never be the same. And I was right about that. But I gathered up all the supplies. And I knew I was going to need a lot of different stuff, but I got all the rooms ready. I ended up kind of dividing the kids up into groups of 10 for the 10 plagues. I don't know. I thought that was a good number. And I went with the first group because I wanted the first front row seat to all the stuff that was going to happen. Well, we entered into the first room, Jason, and it was awesome. I mean, the kids loved the illusion that we had set up where we were turning the Nile River into blood. Because, you know, we had this clear water, poured it into a pitcher where they didn't know I had, you know, this red food coloring down at the bottom. So then whenever I poured it back out, it was red. Ooh, you know, they were like, wow, this is awesome. Right. You know, so it went from clear to red. That was great.
This idea is working.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking I'm on a roll. I'm going to write a book about this. Little did I know what kind of book it'd be. But yeah,
right.
I was convinced I was going to be known forever for this. We went to the next room. It was the plague of frogs. And, you know, the kids loved back in those days, you could get like 5,000 frogs for 25 cents from Oriental Trading Company. It was great.
Right. Yep.
You know,
yep.
So these little plastic frogs were everywhere. I had a CD of frog sound effects and the kids were loving it. They also loved the next two rooms that were kind of similar with the sound effects of flies and gnats to signify those plagues. I mean, things were going well, Jason.
Right.
Until. The kids, you know, they didn't react so well to the fake cow that I had lying in the next room to signify the plague of dead livestock. they were pretty freaked out when we went into the room where the people had been struck with the plague of boils. Now, I thought that my leaders had done a great job with the theatrical makeup and making those boils look realistic. Apparently, they'd done too good of a job. They were very realistic. And the kindergartners were a little scared of the boils. But things went, I mean, drastically wrong in the plague of hail room. Because I made the mistake of putting some junior high boys in charge of that room.
Oh, gosh.
Right? Now, what I had told them to do, Jason, I put these 6-foot ladders in the corner. And I gave them trash bags full of ping pong balls. And I told them that when the kids come in and line up, lightly toss the ping pong balls toward them and let them roll like, you know, hail was coming down. Do you think that's what these junior high boys did?
No, they pegged them.
No. they were practicing their assassin skills and just like, boom, 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 you know, just hitting all the kids in the face. And, oh, man, they smacked this one little girl right in the eye. She started bawling, and, you know, the rest of the kids started running out of the room. And so I finally got the junior high boys to stop. But, hard to get the kids back. They were freaking out and crying. But it didn't get a whole lot better in the plague of locusts and the plague of darkness room. Because I'll give you a little tidbit for free, Jason. In case you didn't know, there are many children who are afraid of the dark.
Yes.
so I had all the lights off and it was totally pitch black and they were freaking out. Well, it all came to a disastrous end in the last plague room, which was the death of the firstborn.
I had one
of my female leaders, and she was dressed in full Egyptian period costume. She had this baby doll in her lap, and she was just kind of over in the corner, hunched over, and the kids walked in. They see this woman over there, and they're like,
"Oh my,
what's going on? What's happening? What's going on?" And as soon as the last kid was in the room, this volunteer let out a blood-curdling scream. "My baby's dead!" And all of these kids' eyes got so big. They're freaking out. They start crying. They run out of the room. I'm like, "No, come back, come back." I don't know what I was thinking when I put that thing together, but I got all the way down. I had to chase them, you know, down into the gym and where they're all crying. And I just immediately, I'm like, I got to get these people to forget this. So, you know, I immediately went to snack time. It's snack time. Because everybody knows, and in kids ministry, it's an axiom you must remember. Yes. Goldfish and Kool-Aid covers a multitude of sins. So yeah. I was able to get their mind off of that. But needless to say, the next few days, they were very busy because I had meetings and phone calls from parents angry, just wondering, what is your problem? What were you thinking when you came up with this? But the lesson that I learned through all of that, which it was a lot, but the main thing was the whole process that I went through, I realized that not every good idea, quote unquote, is a God idea. Good idea is a God idea. And I changed the way that I went through the process of preparing for big events, for other ideas. I get God's input on the front end. I ask for wisdom and insight, but I also ask parents. I ask my peers. I ask my pastor. I get all kinds of input so that it can be an idea that impacts lives in the right way, not in the way that the Plagues Tour did.
That's great, man. That is great. Yeah. Well, man, thank you so much for being on today. We're going to wrap up here. So go get Brian's book, briandollar.com. It comes out when again?
September 19th is the official release date, but if they go to briandollar.com and order it now, they'll actually get it before the release date, and they'll get it signed, and it's discounted right now too. So
I love
it's a bonus all the way around.
I love it. Well, you know, you're going to laugh through the book, you're going to cry through the book, and God's going to really touch you. So go get the book, especially if you're a leader. I think all leaders need to read it. And think back, you know, I mean, over their time, and whether you're new in kids ministry or you've been a veteran for a long time, I think it's going to be a great book. So, hey, will you close us out in prayer today? Pray for our leaders.
I would absolutely love to do that. Good. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to serve your kingdom, to serve you, and to serve your kids. Lord, we know that it's a huge opportunity, but it's also a huge responsibility. We don't ever want to take that responsibility lightly, nor do we ever want to pursue ministry to kids and families in our own strength and in with our own wisdom and our own ideas. Lord, we want your inspiration, your divine inspiration. Lord, we want to do just like it was described in Colossians, that we struggle with all your energy, which so powerfully works in us. And I pray, Lord, that would be exactly what happens for those that are watching and listening here today. And Lord, I pray for those who, if they're young and just starting out in ministry, or they've been in this thing for a long time, that they would always have a heart that understands mistakes are inevitable, failures will happen, but instead of trying to save face and trying to run from the pain, I pray that they would embrace the objective and the priority that you have for their life during that season of failure and of making mistakes. I pray they'd admit it, that they'd own it, that they'd examine it, that they would make sure, Lord, that they learn from it and that they never repeat it. I pray that that would be the legacy that they take with them, that they can show everyone, including themselves, that failure is not final. Failure is an opportunity to grow and to become more like Jesus. And so I pray, God, that you would lead them through these seasons with integrity and with passion for the call that you've placed on their life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Brian. Hey, we'll see you next time on the Kidman Tribe podcast. Have a great and just awesome day. God bless you.
We would love to hear from you. What are some of the thoughts, questions, ideas you would like to hear more about? You can submit your thoughts and questions to thekidmantribe.com/mailbag. And be sure to share this podcast with everyone you know.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for sticking with us for the Kidman Tribe podcast today. I hope it encouraged you. I hope it challenged you. I hope it even kind of spoke new life into those areas where maybe you felt like, man, I failed. And how do I move forward? Hey, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel and become an official part of the tribe. Just search the Kidman Tribe podcast on your favorite platform, wherever you listen to your podcast or video cast. You can also listen to the podcast on iTunes and Google Podcasts. Hey, do me a favor, go and like us at Facebook right now and share the Kidman Tribe with every Kidman leader you know. Hey, will you also leave us a comment? If you love what you heard today, will you leave us a comment, share? You're the one that will help us get the word out to help other churches and leaders with great content. You can also find us online at thekidmantribe.com. That's kidmantribe.com, where we have a bi-weekly blog written by some of the best kids ministry leaders, and you'll find all of the older editions of the Kidman Tribe podcast. You can also find some great swag for your volunteers. Hey, thank you again for being a part of the Kidman Tribe podcast. And listen, if you have questions or input on the future Kidman Tribe podcast topics, I would love to hear from you. You can submit your ideas and questions
to the Kidman Tribe Mailbag by going to www.kidmantribe.com/mailbag. You'll find it right on our website. And 2 weeks, we're going to have an incredible conversation on early childhood with my great friend, Gene Thomason. I love to have these conversations on a regular basis because early childhood is so important. You may also know Gene as Miss Patty Cake. Gene's going to talk with us about what she sees are some of the most important trends and things happening in early childhood today. She has incredible insight. Gene Thomason has more than 30 years of experience as a musical performer, a worship leader, author, and conference speaker to parents, grandparents, teachers, and children's ministers. She's the living embodiment of the joyful children's musical character, Miss Patty Cake. Through this brightly costumed character, Gene plants biblical truths, serves in the fun toddler-sized pieces, which help equip parents to lay a spiritual foundation for their children. Her live Miss Patty Cake family events are performed throughout God's great big world, and you can book them too. Gene's ready wit and engaging presentations speak to the heart behind the art of preschool ministry and early childhood. Whether at home or in a formal church day school mop setting, you will see and hear the passion she has for little ones and their families. Gene's overarching call to action is, whoever wants the next generation the most will get them. Don't miss the Kidman Tribe podcast. Early childhood is one of the most important things that a church needs to get right. You are loved, you're appreciated, and what you do changes lives for eternity. I'm your biggest fan. I'm cheering you on always. You are my heroes. Keep going after what God has called you to do. Go get them, tribe. I'll catch you in 2 weeks. Thanks so much.
The Kidman Tribe podcast is a production of 1230 Kids. For show notes, archive episodes, and more free resources for your kids' ministry, visit kidmantribe.com.